mankind. In other words, if a man lies with a man, lie in a sense of from a sexual perspective, as he lieth with a woman, he says, both of them have committed an abomination. That's Old Testament. And what the argument is, well, that's Old Testament, it's not new. Well, what did we just read in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul talking about vile affections. So what do you have? You have the, it's abnormal. It's abnormal conduct. It doesn't make any sense. By biological design, you're countering the design. If you know basic biology, you laugh at this. You laugh at it. What's the driving force? The driving force is the gratification that's perceived. That's the idea. It makes no difference that it's wrong. It makes no difference that it's counterproductive. It makes no difference that it can cause physical problems, health problems, all mental problems. That's not even relevant because you're in charge. You see, it's all about you, your satisfaction. That's the concept. That's the idea. So go look further. He says, abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So in the Old Testament, two sodomites, two homosexuals were caught in the act or whatever. What was the payback? They were executed. You say, by whose design? By God's design. By God. This is what God has declared. Now, New Testament, no. Why? Well, because we're not living under the Mosaic law, not living under the domination of the Israeli government, so to speak. It's a different story. But if you're old enough, you can remember, you go back in the 50s and the 60s, if two men were caught in an act of sodomy or things of that nature, that was a felony. You were arrested and you were jailed for that. You were jailed for that. You went to jail. Today, what? Now they would say, how about pedophilia? Well, pedophilia, that's bad. Give it a few years and that'll be okay too. That'll be encouraging little children and helping little children to understand, so forth and so on. Look at the other things that have been becoming prevalent today. Beyond, when you think about it, you say, how can we have come to the point where we accept this conduct, the language, the things that are being conveyed as being okay? How do we do this? Exactly why Paul said, because we've dispensed with God. The world has become fools. There is no God. There is no creator. It becomes purely subjective. Look with me in verse 14. He says, and if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness, and they shall be burnt alive. He says, both he and they, he says, but there be no wickedness among you. If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. He goes on and on. You say bestiality. Well, who does that today? Oh, really? Are you that dumb? I remember a few years ago, I referenced the fact in Europe, they had a place going on where bestiality was part of what they did. Somebody was offended that I would even infer that anywhere in the world today that would be going on, and they left. Well, guess what? It is going on, and it's becoming ever more prevalent. How about the guy that just was, it was on news today. He was suicided, Epstein. He was suicided. It's not suicide with his, it's suicided. He was suicided. He didn't commit suicide. He was suicided. Look what they have in this guy. Look what was going on. Bestiality was part of it. Pedophilia was part of it. Sex slaves were part of it. Who was involved with this guy? The premier people of our country. Pristine people, the former governor of Arizona, who was an ambassador, his name is in there, his eminence, Bill Clinton's name is in there, whole bunch of others. What would have happened if this guy was called to testify? How many people would have gone to jail? How many bubbles would have been popped? So what happened? The poor guy got suicided, that's all. He got suicided. And watch, all the records, watch, something's going to happen to the records. There's going to be a fire. The termites ate them. Something's going to happen. They're going to disappear. It happens all the time. You're saying, wait a minute, Greg, is it that bad? Come on. Is it that bad? Is it that bad? The guy had an island where this stuff went on. You're not talking about, look, we want to relegate the sin mindset to ignorant people sometimes. Well, that's just ignorant people. That's not intelligent people like us. That's people with no education. We're people of college degrees and things in which we're much more sophisticated. Nonsense. Man, look, carnality is carnality. This is Paul's point. The intelligentsia says what? There is no God. There is no God. It's all about me. It's about my gratification, my satisfaction. And the devil says, knock yourself out. As sick as you want to become, go for it. I'll help you along. You can be as sick as you want. That's the idea. The reprobate mind, it means a disapproved, improper mindset. God says, if that's where you're going to go, I'm going to let you go there. If you're a believer, shame on you, but he's going to let you go there. If you're an unbeliever, he's going to let you go there. How about refusing to retain God in your mind creates a mental vacuum that can never be satisfied? Listen, you and I both know when you got saved, there's a filling, there's an at-ease thing, if you will. You come in and you recognize, gee, I know who he is, I'm saved. I have no worries about that at all. I have no fear of death. I'm confident. I know the Lord. Now, that being said, if you're not, then it's a vacuum and you're trying to fill it, but you can never fill it. And again, like I said earlier with the drugs, the more you try to find the satisfaction, the more you have to keep on trying. That's the devil's agenda. So again, you refuse to retain God in your mind. He creates that mental vacuum which you can never satisfy, but again, man attempts to fill his own vacuum with sin. 20 plus sins mentioned here, we're going to see in a second if we have enough time. 20 plus sins. Incidentally, the only sin not mentioned is the observance of the Sabbath. You say, what's the point? Again, showing you out of the first 10, the only one of those not reaffirmed in the New Testament is observance of the Sabbath day. Why? Because Christ is the fulfillment thereof. Christ is your Sabbath. Every day is your day of rest. Why? Because Jesus purged the sins of the world, Hebrews 3, then he sat down at ease. Now you can be at ease in Christ. I can rest in him. Nothing for me to do. So every day is my Sabbath day. Every day is my rest day in him. But again, he mentions these sins. Let's look at them for a second. Go back with me in Romans. And look with me in verse 29. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. How about inventors of evil things? If there's not enough evil things, you're an inventor of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Nobody today is disobedient to parents. All children today are good children, respectful of their adults and their parents, etc. You go to the malls today and children, you go to shopping centers and what do children do when they see you? They say yes ma'am and no ma'am, right? And they're walking around very nice and polite, and their parents tell them something and they're very obedient. Is that right, or am I delusional? I'm delusional, right? Why? Because just the opposite is the case. Why? Because the times in which we live, there is no sovereignty. There is no God. There is no final arbiter of truth. There is no biblical protocol laid out for them anymore. They have no concept of what it means to be in Christ. So then it's purely a subjective thing. It's everybody has the right. The child has the right to get what the child wants, so forth and so on. Look with me in verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Those two things, covenant breakers. Once upon a time, people had their words, right? You gave somebody your word, that was sacrosanct, end of story. I'm old enough to remember way back yonder when you went in the bank, you borrowed some money, you signed something called a promissory note. It was about that big. That's it. You didn't have 46 pages of rules and regulations and all sorts of stuff. You signed a note. I promised to pay you back, and you signed it, and you paid them back. Why? Because you gave your word. You signed your note. You gave your word. Your word was your bond. Why? Because you understood that integrity was reflective of your belief in God. God gave you something. God indwells you, so forth and so on, that you have a purpose. You don't want to give a bad testimony. So again, you did what you said you would have to do. Well, they're going to be covenant breakers. Why? Because whatever satisfies me. It's not about you. It's all about me. How about without natural affection? To me, that's overwhelming when I look at that, without natural affection. What does that mean? You read it all the time. I read an article the other day. A lady killed two of her children. She was doing something or something, and the children were aggravating her, and so she killed them. She killed two of her kids. I read another one. Somebody threw a baby in a dumpster. A baby in a dumpster. Not only that, how about just animals? I'm an animal guy. I like dogs, cats, whatever, all animals, birds, whatever. What do people do today? They just do things to hurt them. I saw a picture the other day, somebody sent me of a cat where somebody had wrapped the cat with fireworks and lit the fireworks off on the cat so they can look at it and laugh. And my response was, when it catches the guy, they ought to wrap him in fireworks and set him. That should be what it is. Whatever you do, it's done back to you, okay? You put the puppy in a bag and you throw it in a river, we put you in a bag and throw you in a river. See what you do. You throw it out the window on the expressway, we're going to throw you out the window on the expressway. Now you say, what's the point? That's my carnality again. But the point is, there's an issue here. There's an issue here. Understand that it's about carnality. It's about man. In your own time, go back and read Galatians 5:19 on the Sabbath. But it's about carnality. It's about a problem. Sin then becomes the pattern of your lifestyle is the bottom line here. Look with me in verse 32. He says, who knoweth? Who knoweth? We have full knowledge of this. The judgment of God. He says that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Worthy of death doesn't mean that you're going to die. If you're a believer, obviously, you could go sit unto death, but you're not talking eternal death. He says, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do that. So what is he saying? Believers get wrapped up in this. Believers can commit all these sins. Believers can get these addictions. We've referenced it a couple of times in years gone by. A few years back, a major seminary, I won't mention it, in their doctoral group, the people studying to get their PhDs in ministry, 30% were kicked out of the seminary. For what reason? They had child pornography on their computers. 30%. Wait, these are people, believers, in seminary to get their doctorate so they can come out and be reverend, doctor, holy pastor, whatever. What does that mean? Well, they can't really be saved. Of course they can. And this is Paul's point. The bottom line is we have to come back to the realization, take a step back. We are nothing without him. That's Paul's point. You're a slave. It's not about this world. It's not about you satisfying your desires. It's about satisfying him. Again, the slave, if the master said, sweep the porch, you swept the porch. It didn't make a difference if you had been working all day. It didn't make a difference if you didn't feel like it. It didn't make a difference if you were hurting. It didn't make a difference if you hadn't eaten dinner. You did what you were told. That's the concept. Paul was told to circumvent the known world. You think he wanted to do that? Preaching the message that everywhere he went, people hated him. They tried to kill him numerous times. You think he wanted that? No, not from his carnality, and that's his point in Romans chapter 7. He knew what to do, but he didn't always do it. Sometimes he did sin, and he wrestled with that. The bottom line is we have an imperative, and the imperative is to bear witness of the Savior. Now, how can you do that successfully? By recognizing your own carnality. Don't ever get to the point when you get to the mindset, well, it's subjective. It's, well, I feel this and I think that. No. What has he declared to you and I? And he's very, very clear and succinct in his word. We're here for a reason, and that reason is to bear witness of him. That's what we should be doing each and every day. And if we're doing that, then sin is not going to be the pattern of our lives. Christ then will become the pattern of our lives, and hopefully others will see him when they see us. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful once again for a chance to share from your word. Help us to truly understand what it means to belong to you, that we are your children. We are your ambassadors. We're important. We're the recipients of all spiritual blessings and given a directive. And that directive is to testify of the reality of our Savior's resurrection and in payment of sin for time and eternity for the world. May others come to know that as we do and be saved even as we. In his name we pray. Amen.